Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing? What's going on over there?
I had no idea we were doing a podcast record, so I turned up half an hour late. So I'd like to apologise in front of the Abroad Japan universe and listenership to Chris and say, sorry, Chris, I didn't realise... because I didn't write down my calendar properly.
You fool.
And also, I just needed that little half an hour lie-in. It's now 7 o'clock in the morning, and we're now recording the Broad Japan podcast, which is fine. So, to get me up and about, I've got some AW root beer. Why don't we have root beer in England? Is it a thing in Japan all that much? Why isn't root beer in every goddamn drinks fountain, in every goddamn... burger place in the whole of the UK, because root beer is the superior drink.
It is pretty good. Whenever I go to Canada with Charlotte, I always get Barks root beer, different brands.
Yes.
NW's all right. Barks is where the action is, but I have an unhealthy addiction to root beer. Oh. Whenever I go to Canada, I drink like an ungodly amount and I feel awful afterwards because my body's like 90% root beer and sugar.
Yeah. Well, we have we have dandelion and burdock, don't we? Which is kind of similar, but it doesn't have that wonderful sort of chemical sort of medicine taste to it, which I really respect in a drink. If I had my way, I'd drink that sort of banana antibiotics that kids drink 24/7.
Banana antibiotics.
Do you remember when you were a kid, you used to have antibiotics? If you had a fever or something, they'd give you antibiotics before they realised that antibiotics is really problematic to give you loads of it. And they'd give you it and it'd be banana flavoured.
Were you born in the 19th century? What is this?
What do you mean? It was antibiotics and it tasted like banana. It was delicious. And I just want everything to taste like that.
That's the North-South England divide right there. Yeah, banana antibiotics maybe. Up in North England. My God. I feel bad that you say, I had a lie-in, I got up at 7. I had a lie-in, I got up at 10:30. I can't, I've gotten to a bad habit already. The first few days this year, I was getting up at like 7, and it was like the best thing ever. And sure enough, my schedule just gradually went back round, as it always does. I hate it. I hate myself for it, and I just wish I could get around it. Do I lack self-discipline? I don't know, maybe.
I don't think so. I think it's more just that you stay up all night editing videos. I mean, that's the real issue, isn't it?
That might be part of it. By the way, my friend a friend approached me the other day and said, I didn't know you liked the Spice Girls. I was like, what are you on about? The Spice Girl? Where's this come from? And apparently we talked about it on the podcast last week or something, which I've forgotten.
Oh, yes, we did. We very problematically reviewed how sexy each Spice Girl was, I seem to recall. We basically said that when we were children, which ones we found more attractive. And I won because mine was correct.
What was it? You said Jerry Halliwell, right? Jerry Horner.
Jerry. It was Jerry or Scary Spice, really, I guess. Isn't it?
Scared? No. Emma Bunton, all the way.
No, Emma Bunton.
You're just
the one that's just all cute.
So
it doesn't say boo to a goose. I don't think I've ever met a single Spice Girl.
For my birthday, I want a cameo from Emma Bunton, and that'll make my birthday complete. That's what I want.
Are any of the Spice Girls on cameo?
No, I want you to literally go into London and go into your old radio station and be like, Emma do Chris Ovidier, just like you do with Bryan Cranston. What I want, I
push,
get.
Push my way through reception, sort of go, I don't work here anymore, but I've got to get to a Spice Girl. I've got to get to Emma Bunton. So, wave you in. Not seen you in a while. Not seen how extreme you've become, Peter.
Probably fine. I realise, though, I've become... recently, like in other episodes, I talked about Thunderbirds and all this stuff from the 90s. Like, Thunderbirds was filmed in the 1960s. It had a resurgence in the 90s. And like, I realised I've been going back to my childhood in the 90s and revisiting certain things that get me nostalgic, which is A, the Spice Girls, and B, Thunderbirds for some reason. And it made me realise the 90s were good. And then it was all downhill from there.
Well, I think there's a massive resurgence into 90s stuff. But also, like, naughty stuff as well. There's quite a lot of... I'll go to quite... like, if I had a choice for my perfect night, there are quite a few, like, emo nights on. I went to one before Christmas. And it was, like... it was just this big ballroom in sort of Clapham Grand, I think. And there was a big emo night on. Except, like, the people who DJed, they didn't really play a lot of emo. They just played, like... quite a lot of sort of like Good Charlotte and Avril Lavigne and stuff. And it's like, well, it's not really emo, is it? I mean, like, I know it's a Saturday night and you got to get the punters in, but like, give us some Taken Back Sunday or, I don't know, some Yellow Card or something. Come on, guys. Give me something.
When I first came to Japan, I started working with a Canadian guy, a friend of mine, who's still here. And he was like, I met Avril Lavigne at a party in Ottawa. I was like, cool. What happened then?
He was
like, she was kind of quiet. And yeah, that was the end of the story.
If you've not got a story about a celebrity or if you've not got a story about someone, like, it's so kind of, you have to sort of invent something. Going, yes, she did not wash her hands after the toilet. Like, you have to invent something.
I mean, I can't talk. Always going on about giving Elon Musk a birthday cake. These underwhelming... or Kenneth Branagh in a shoe shop or whatever. Like, all these really underwhelming encounters that suck, honestly.
But I think Elon Musk stands apart as he's insane and also he has dominated so much of our life through sheer force of finance. It's,
absolutely.
It's a weird one.
Absolutely. Mm. Twitter, X, nightmare. Anyway, let's crack on with the story of the day from, and I'm afraid I don't know how to read this, T-I-J-M-E-N, Tijmen. It's a Dutch name, and I can't pronounce it, so somebody is going to have to tell me on Twitter, or X, how it's pronounced. Anyway, Tiemann, we'll call him Tiemann, from the Netherlands, says, "Hello, Chris and Pete, I've got a wild story from a study trip to Tokyo I did a few years back with our international student crew. So, after hitting a British pub on our first night, a Japanese girl and her Indian friend we bumped into invited us out for sushi at 4 a.m. Most of us accepted it and headed onwards to this buzzing sushi joint where we talked and ate for another hour or so. The Indian guy even generously covered half our bill, a surreal experience given the hour. Having wrapped up our sleep-deprived adventures and now aching for bed, one of the organisers and a close buddy of mine got a call just metres from our hostel. Turns out, while we were on our impromptu sushi extravaganza, some other students were still at the bar. An Irish lad thought it'd be a grand idea to quickly relieve himself out on the nearest building, that building being the Russian embassy." Oh, good God. Oh. So, long story short, picture this. Unimpressed armed guards, an Irish student and a friend running on fumes, having to communicate apologies in various languages for a swift release. Despite the initial chaos, we left with nothing more than a telling off, and thus was the first unforgettable memory we made in Japan. The first of many. Keep up the good work, guys. Tiedemann from Netherlands. His name I've butchered. Not so much a story as an encounter that luckily didn't go as badly wrong as it could have done. That could have gone on way worse. My God.
I like that the Indian friend managed to unlock the Indian finance for half the sushi. It's nice stuff. It's good stuff. Loop him in. But also, like, isn't down in, like, are the Russians being blamed down in Cuba for the Cuban, like, mystery weapon that have given all the people in the American embassy headaches? I presume it's closed down now because obviously they don't have diplomatic relations anymore.
The microwave weapon.
The microwave, the popcorn
Havana
in the
syndrome,
head
right?
thing. Havana syndrome, that's what they call it, yeah. Aren't the Russians blamed that? You've got to be careful weighing on their embassy, that's all I'm saying. They could turn the tables on you.
Havana syndrome. It's just too many people fucking having mojitos and pina coladas in Cuba after working at the embassy. Nonsense. Oh, it's Havana syndrome, isn't it? Yeah. Pete Donaldson's got Havana syndrome most Tuesdays and Wednesday. It's fucking, it's microwave. Probably is a microwave weapon there, in all seriousness. But we can only speculate. But on the subject of nationality, this week, a report came out that 87% of
Very
Japanese...
enjoyable.
I know, right? Lovely link. We're the best in the business. 87% of Japanese people don't feel friendly towards China. Shock, horror, amazement.
Oh.
Except unless you've been to Japan more than once. This isn't a surprise at all. To be fair, that is quite a high number. I think it's the highest I've ever seen it. Fill us in, Pete. Why is everyone in Japan not like China? What's going on?
Well, I mean, I suppose we could point to any item in the menu, in the receipt, I suppose, with the two countries doing what they've done over the years. But a record 86.7% of Japanese do not feel friendly towards China. A Japanese government poll showed as bilateral relations remain tense over a number of issues. The mainland survey of 3,000 Japanese nationals aged 13 or over living in the country received valid responses from 1,500 people. The government started conducting similar polls in 1975 to help formulate its foreign policy. Never ask the people to formulate your foreign policy. Good God. The record figure, up from 81% in the previous survey to 86%, was the highest since the question was added in 78 to the annual diplomatic surveys conducted by the Cabinet Office. Probably something to do with the recent ban on marine products shipped from Japan to China, imposed last August after the radioactive water discharge in the from Fukushima. Bilateral tensions have also grown amid the Chinese vessels dicking about near Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea. The claim by Beijing, which call them Daiyu. And on a more positive note, the survey showed an improvement in sentiment regarding South Korea, with 52.8% saying they feel friendly towards the country, up from 45.9%. There's actually in England, there's a bit of a situation that grew and then kind of shriveled up. There was some kind of CCP supporters at, I think it was King's Cross or might have been St Pancras Station in London. And they were doing some kind of filming for the Chinese New Year. And there's a man on YouTube who, he's just constantly playing the... You know in like public areas in London, you'll occasionally see like a piano that people will just... Yeah. Somebody will just leave a sort of stand-up piano and you can have a play if you're so inclined. Which is you know, it's quite a nice bit of public art. You know, nice little bit of public function to go with those nails that they hammer into the benches so homeless people can't sit there. So it's you know, weird sort of change there. But there's a man who sort of goes around just playing this piano, and he's on YouTube, and he plays the boogie woogie piano here and there, and apparently there's a video where the CCP members basically just tell him to stop filming, and he's like going, "It's a free country. I'm allowed to do what I want." And he's a bit of a dick. And they're a massive dick. And they just have this big sort of squabble about who's touching whose flag. It's kind of like... it all becomes very very aggressive very quickly. It's just an interesting little bit of, the CCP, they're all around doing manoeuvres.
I mean, it's not a surprise. This isn't surprising. Every person I speak to in Japan, Japanese folks... are unanimous in their dislike for China. It's unfortunate. You know, one of my best students was half Chinese, and I've met lots of great Chinese people here. So it always feels wrong to scapegoat everyone in a country, right? While we're in recording the Journey Across Japan episode that's coming out, probably when this video has come out, we went to an onsen, Pete and I. There's a bus you have to take to get from like the car park into the onsen town because it's very remote. You can't drive up to it, so you have to take this bus. And on one of the last buses out of the town, we just couldn't get on it because there was quite a lot of Chinese tourists. They're a very big tour group. And there was about six of us, me, Pete, a few others in the crew, right? Ian and Sharla. And we just couldn't get on the bus. And one of the tour guides, Chinese tour guide, was getting really angry at us for like trying to get on this bus. And we were getting really angry that we couldn't get on the bus because... there was just so many Chinese tourist folks there. And I've never seen... I think Pete and I got really angry because this woman was just getting really angry and shouting at us. in sort of broken Chinese English, not letting us on the bus. But it's unfortunate. I'll never forget, I went to a ryokan up in Tohoku once and checked in with Sharla. I think it was like a Valentine's Day thing. It can be romantic sometimes. And we went there, got in the room, and the woman came in, the woman that ran the ryokan. Before really saying anything, she just went, "Oh, foreign, but thank God you're not Chinese." And we were like, "Oh, yeah,
yeah,
great." And then she was like, "When Chinese customers come, they eat the food and spit it on the floor." And she was like being really graphic. And I was like, regardless of whether or not this is the case, this isn't professional. You can't,
no.
When customers arrive, you don't go and start berating like another nationality like that. It was really weirdly unprofessional, especially, you know, you don't have that sort of encounter.
Ryokan honor.
No, I'm like, I've come for this romantic getaway in this lovely traditional inn.
Side order of jingoism.
Oh, yeah, just hearing this like awful rhetoric. But yeah, I'm not surprised this has crept up, given that back in September last year, China did ban all Japanese seafood because of the Fukushima water being released, which was mainly done out of politics, especially as Chinese, the water around China is equally, if not more, polluted.
I think
because there's a lot more, there's tons of nuclear reactors spilling out treated and untreated water full of cesium along their coastline as well. They're like the numbers are just as bad as Japan, if not worse. Scientists,
I think it's also, I think it's also because you are, I mean, obviously familiarity, when there's any kind of inter-country relations, familiarity does breed contempt. I'm sure the figures for Britain and the French would probably be exactly the same, to be honest.
I don't know. It just simply it goes deeper in Japan and China, though, doesn't it?
There's been a lot of very recent sort of skirmishes and invasions in their history. So, I mean, you can understand why.
Certainly, throughout my time living here, I've seen relations between Japan go up and down, but mostly down in the last few years since the President Xi Jinping came into power in China. It doesn't seem, and obviously with the threat of war in Taiwan going up by the day, I think a lot of Japanese folks are uneasy about that and whatnot, and getting dragged into that as well. So yeah, I think that's why, going back to how I started today's episode, the nostalgia around the 90s. It was so wonderful, so magic. Yeah. And now it's like, you open the newspaper, it's like, World War III, it's coming next Tuesday. And it's like, oh, shit.
I think it's because, like, I think we all kind of feel that way, but I think it's because we were all children in those decades.
I was a child.
We were a child. I mean, I was, to a lesser extent. Let's make that very clear.
No, you weren't. You were older.
I was.
You were 17.
I'm technically a millennial, but a very old one, about as old as a millennial can be. it's sad, but we do kind of start, when there's trouble on the horizon and we're grown up and we're having to deal with all of these horrible things, you know, world recessions and all this stuff, we do kind of start to regress into our nostalgia, and that's why you know, Barbies in the cinema making billions of pounds, and we just sort of we go back to where it all started for us and stuff, because that's where we find comfort. I say this with a boggling literally behind me.
Yes, the horrible creature.
Creature.
And also on the subject of Barbie and Barbenheimer and all that, I did hear that Oppenheimer is finally getting released in Japan, I think, in the second quarter of this year. So I saw it when I was overseas anyway. If I'd been waiting around, I'd have been very disappointed. And not a lot of people, there's no real word on why they delayed it either. Obviously, at the time it was released back in July last year, it was said to be out of politeness because of the anniversary of the bombings and whatnot. But yeah, it looks like it's coming out in March. Fingers crossed. I would be tempted to go and see it again. It's very good.
Who's going to be dubbing the bomb? Who's going to be the voice of the bomb? The Japanese voice of the bomb. That's what I
Natsuki.
Know.
Natsuki will be.
Kaboom!
Might ruin Oppenheimer somewhat. Take away any credibility. I don't know. It's nice to see South Korea and Japan getting along a bit better. I don't think we reported it, but after the earthquake recently, South Korea pledged some aid to the region of Noto to help them through the earthquake, which is a really nice gesture. It went down very well here. Again, like South Korea and Japan, always at loggerheads over World War II and the aftermath of that. But I just, yeah, it's a shame. I wish all the countries could get on better, especially South Korea and Japan, given they're such similar countries at such a similar sort of development level and everything, and economically, I just wish they'd get on better.
I think tactically, I sort of worry, and you know, we won't get into politics because, goodness me, if I ever express an opinion, the YouTube comments do.
You would never do that, Pete.
Enrage people. Never hear the end of it. But you do fear of a Donald Trump Republican US situation simply because Xi Jinping will just go, hey, you know, half my missiles may very well be filled with water. My readiness of my army may not be all that, but I reckon it'll probably take Taiwan because Donald Trump probably wouldn't seek to defend. And then, you know, so Japan has to kind of, and North Korea will probably have a bit of a giggle as well. So,
you do sort of worry about
the stability of the not having a grown up in the room for the next 4 years. But, I'm just going to play with my boglins.
There is a good chance, if Trump does become president, that there will be a greater degree of instability because America is less likely to commit to defending Taiwan, amongst other things.
A lot of raptors testing the fences over the last 4 years and after COVID, because obviously no one's got any bloody money to help defend other countries. It's going to be interesting. Mm. And by interesting, I mean fucking scary.
Get Pete Donaldson conscripted back into the army. I heard the UK was tempted to look into it this year.
They were talking about
Pete Donaldson on the front lines.
They were talking about conscription. I'm going, good luck with that one. Good luck with that one. I don't think anyone's going to be that interested. I think we're too busy on TikTok, guys.
But I think definitely a very uncertain year ahead, and something we'll be discussing later on in the year, I'm sure. We're back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Ow.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
I got a message from Filipino Pete, my brother. My Filipino brother, Filipino Pete. Hello, Centurion Chris and Praetor Pete. My question is this. Is there anything we should be aware of when touring Japan with a baba? I'm going to be going with my sister and my baby nephew, and I want them to have a good time. Yet, I also worry about our group unintentionally inconveniencing others. The nephew's great. He's a good little boy. But you never know when kids that young can start throwing a tantrum, especially in public. Any help or advice would be appreciated. Been listening to your show for quite a while now, and it's very awesome to see you both doing this on YouTube as well as this. Kind regards, Filipino Pete. Baby changing facilities. I've recently had to deal with baby changing facilities in a couple of places. My mate's got a pen, and I was helping out. There seems to be certainly in Essex a lot of provision for baby changing facilities in the female toilets, but not the men's. Very upsetting.
Well, this is one of those questions where I have absolutely no real experience. I will say though, lots of toilet. Yeah, like Japan is the king of
just
public
lots of toilets around. Yeah,
they're so good. Like whenever I go, like when I was back in Canada last year. I was mortified at the public toilets in comparison to Japan. Or in the UK as well. Awful. In Japan, very clean, very brand new often, very nice and great. Yeah, that's one thing. Anything else? Anything else, though, I'm not really a man for the job on that one. But I think Japan is a great place to travel with a baby. Just be wary of the tiny hotel rooms. Can be kind of cramped, I guess, right? Being stuck in a tiny room with a crying baby. Yeah, ain't going to be fun. We got one here from Tyson who says, "Hello, Chikan, Chris, and Puro." What's that? Pro wrestler Pete. I'll be setting off my very first solo trip to Japan in late January. My question is, if I were to walk in any convenience store and after pointing at something I wanted and paying, would I be upsetting anyone by thanking the store clerk with a joyous arigato konbini-san? Oh, fucking hell. It sounds funny and playful to me, but I'd rather not be walking around with my awful Japanese upsetting strangers. Thanks for the wonderful podcasts. Fingers crossed we'll get Natsuki one day on the podcast. All the best, Tyson.
I wouldn't necessarily go with that one.
Don't do that. It's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't walk into a fucking Walmart and be like, arigato Walmart-san to the person at the checkout, right? They'd be like, what are you on about? Get out. Arigato. Tesco, man. Don't do it. They'll just think you're weird. We got one last one from Annie. He says, hello, Creaky Chris and Party Pete. My husband keeps asking me why the Abroad Japan videos all have stars in the thumbnails now, at least for the last year. Chris, is this some sort of clever algorithmic design or way to get more views on YouTube? Thanks,
Chris has
Annie.
Joined a cult. Chris has joined a cult. He's joined like it's a weird cult that
can't
has
tell
to
you
put
why.
Stars in all of the thumbnails.
Yeah, there's going to be a big like that. What's that thing that people point to their eye? Something is supposed to be a conspiracy.
Oh, so when people sort of take pictures of like Beyonce and she's doing a triangle or something like, look, Illuminati.
Conspiracy.
It's Illuminati again.
Illuminati. It's an Illuminati conspiracy and definitely not a way to boost the click-through rate by making a contrast in the thumbnail. I did it because I thought it would increase the click-through rate. And so far as I can tell, it has worked. I don't know why or how. Don't know the magic behind it, really. But yeah, it does work. Having a star in certain thumbnails that are relevant to the topic, like hotel or restaurant kind of thing.
Honestly, man, I could be doing this show for 20 years. And we will, Chris. Yeah. But I will never figure out what makes a good thumbnail. It is by its very nature formulaic, but I just do not understand the formula.
Well, the most successful thumbnails are the ones that aren't, that don't look too photoshopped. That's rule number one, right? Always try and take something that looks natural. Holding a food or doing something in the moment, and also holding something, doing something. If it's just you standing there, it doesn't really work. You've got to be doing something related to the title.
So
there is a sort of science to it, a psychology to it. Didn't help me on the latest video. That bombed off a cliff. The Dr. Jelly music video, making that video. I nearly didn't release the video because it was the one where we made the Dr. Jelly music video in a school. I nearly didn't release it because the weather was really bad. It fucked our plans and I was really tired that day. And it's a shit video. It's the only video in Journey Across Japan that I think is objectively just shit. However, we made a Dr. Jelly music video, which is kind of good, and I had to salvage
and put it in.
Yeah.
Good tune.
Well, the tune's good. So what I'll do is I'll leave it up a few days. Ian is in it and he's great.
Ian's in it.
But like, just nothing happens in the video because the weather was rubbish and we were kind of stuck in this corner of Akita where there's nothing on a rainy day, as beautiful as it is. So unfortunate. And I probably will unlist it from YouTube. So if you're watching this, enjoy the video titled I Tried Filming a Music Video in a School, because it'll be gone very soon. I think quality control is really important. I don't like putting up videos that are kind of not worthy of a viewer's time. And this is one that's dangerously close to that. But Dr. Jelly's worth it. I hope you enjoyed the video, guys. Jerry did a great job bashing that song out in like 25 minutes, writing it in the corner of an abandoned school. The man's a magician. He's pure magic, his old Jerry.
I was a bit annoyed that he didn't rhyme jelly with skelly, like short for skeleton. He went for the full skeleton. I was like, just say skelly. I know what you mean.
I wouldn't have got that.
No.
Good lyrics,
okay,
though.
Right,
good lyrics.
Fair.
And a cracking good video. Check it out. But for now, guys, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.